The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode. There we go. Just had to dig around and find the right settings.
I updated all my computers and stuff. The big one's updating now, but my laptop I updated the other day and it changed the FaceTime settings.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, hey, you're here.
I am here.
What's going on? You recording though? You
got I'd been recording.
Just let it run.
Yeah. doesn't hurt anything.
No, yeah, I got it. So we're all ready to go. We got quite a bit to talk about. But a lot of different things. So
we have different things to talk about.
Yeah, like a lot of catching up to do. We got questions. I have some stuff to bring up. Shows, videos, a very interesting EV truck conversation. We got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you want to start? Where do you want to start? Let me tell you where I want to start.
Yeah, you kick it off. You're good at doing that.
Okay. Videos. We both dropped some videos. I dropped my Forbidden Fantasy video last week. And when did you drop that Main Nats video today?
Yeah, it'll be today. Because I was going to do it yesterday, but there's a couple things that I didn't get done in time. So I was like, because I usually like to drop them on Thursdays.
Yeah. I've heard so many people talk about that, Thursdays. Is Thursday like a special day?
It's not a special day. I don't know what. I just know that you don't drop them on Fridays, you don't drop them on weekends, and you don't drop them on holidays. Mm-hmm. You drop them when people don't have anything to do. So like Thursday, if I can't get it up by like Thursday around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then I just won't do it.
Yeah, yeah. I've learned the exact same thing. I dropped a video because I thought the opposite. I thought, one time I did it on like a Thanksgiving or something.
And
I
was like, everyone's home.
Yeah, everybody's home. They're going to watch videos. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They want to watch them.
Even our podcast, on the days that we've released on holidays, when Monday's been a holiday, it's the lowest counting one.
Oh, yeah. It's probably because people want to watch them on their lunch break. And actually Thursday's a good day for another reason too, because like people are already getting hyped for Friday. They're getting hyped for the weekend. You know, and so, yeah, it makes sense that Thursday is a good day to drop.
Yeah, and Battle in Bama's this weekend. So I was like, there's so many people that were at Mini Nats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at Battle in Bama, yeah.
That are at Battle in Bama right now. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to wait. I'll just wait till Monday.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I loved it. The only thing that I didn't like about it, but I'm like watching it the whole time, I'm like, once again, our videos are like the exact same videos.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're going to be a little bit different. You know, I was like, you did a lot of like visual storytelling. I'm going to do a lot of verbal storytelling.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't I like to narrate mine a little bit, but I feel like the stories are not about me.
Right. Your stories.
My stories, anybody's stories.
Mine are kind of about me.
They shouldn't be though, because they should be, you should narrate what you're seeing.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Not constant, like it's like this hard balance, right? Because it should be like me, at least it's the experience that I'm seeing. And if I can't narrate that visually, I don't want to just tell people. Because if I'm telling people and I'm not showing the people, you know what I mean? And
mine is a vlog style type video. So mine is a lot of like verbal storytelling. Yeah. Not necessarily about me. Well, I mean, no, it is about me. It's about me and my experience going through this and taking people along on that experience.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's a little bit different. It's a hard balance. Like, I wanted to say more on there, but then I went back and I'm like, I don't need to say more. Like,
you know what I mean? It was great. It was fantastic. It was really, really well done.
I don't want to explain what I'm doing. I would rather just show what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then sometimes some things do need explanations.
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily explanation. It's more context. Things need context.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like one thing that I noticed that I didn't do is I never said where we were going.
Oh, okay. The whole time, yeah. We're just
the whole time. Like I never said like the beginning, like how you're really good at like setting up the storyline.
Uh-huh.
I'm not good at setting up the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already was there, so in my brain I'm like, everyone should know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Everyone else should know where I'm going, but I lack that thing that you are good at, which uh-huh. is talking to the people.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where our videos will differ. But no, I had a really great time reliving all those moments. And also being like, oh yeah, I did those. Same shot. Yep, did that too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. They're all going to be like, that's what I was thinking about that too when we were, when I was rewatching it and stuff. And I was like, all the shots are very similar because we all grabbed the camera at the same time and we right. all kind of pointed at the same time. And that's why I use my phone because my phone can zoom
mm-hmm.
and it tells a whole different story. So I'm yeah. just like, I don't care if the quality is not as good on that aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
but like, but I was, you know, we talk about this plan that we have for next year, if it works out or whatever, like that's where it'll kind of get cool because the stories will be different.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Everything was great. The show coverage, the songs were really cool. I love the, is that an NSYNC song or, the other
Justin
band?
Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake song. Yeah. But not done by Justin Timberlake. It's done by like someone else. Because yeah. I didn't realize that at first. I was all listening to it. I'm like, where have I heard this thing before?
I know.
It was good.
Yeah, it was fun. It was long. Like I was like, man, this thing's. It was like at 27 minutes. I might as well make this 30 minutes now. Like, let me just add a couple things on here.
But it didn't feel like it.
No,
it didn't feel long.
Yeah,
you know. And I feel like mine is going to be the same way. Where it's going to be 15-ish minutes of the traveling and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of and see that. So that's the kind of minor difference, you know, between our two styles of video making is I'm acknowledging that fact. I'm like, okay, yeah, the trucks are coming. Like, I know you guys are here for the trucks. The trucks are mm-hmm. coming, and then it builds up to this, the show, and then the actual trucks happening and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Now I was gonna say they should know by now. Like, if they're gonna watch one of your videos, it's going to be a lot of like just you doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like like trucks all the time.
Yeah, I know. But those comments still leak through, you know, and there are still, you know, some people who are like that, but you're right, you know, they should be kind of know what to expect, you know.
Yeah.
But the
comments are just the comments.
Like, oh yeah.
Imagine if we sat there and went through each comment on our social medias and we reacted to those comments by changing the way, like what we did. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if just like,
I see what you're saying.
Some random person was like, dog, get to the show coverage. One comment out of 5,000 views, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we go, oh, we better get to the show coverage faster.
I've kind of done that a couple times. You know, I found myself, but it's not just one comment. It's like, I don't know, things leak into your brain, right? So like, mm-hmm. I had a person comment a few times, more Suzus, more Suzus. And then somehow that kind of locked in my brain. As I'm filming, like, oh, there's an Isuzu. So I film it.
I have
a couple of Isuzus.
Same thing.
And then that person goes back like, oh, cool, Isuzus. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because we're like, comment more on the videos. Comment more on the videos. And then people comment on the videos. And we're like, no, don't comment like that on the videos.
Yeah, I know, right?
Comment. And we'll also, we can take those comments in a totally, like how you take the thumbs up is like a very. Yes. Aggressive thing, and I uh-huh. take it as like it doesn't bother me at all.
Uh-huh.
So like the way people take comments too, it's just like
I was just about to say that like yeah. I've been making a concerned effort to I'm now trying to read comments monotone my head real monotone, not like, hey, you should show more Isuzus. It's like, hey, you should show more Isuzus,
or like, that would be cool if you showed more Isuzus.
Exactly. Yeah.
I try to read a comment and I take it like that, I take a step back and I read it in a different tone, like a more enthusiastic tone. Or I just realize that some people that are commenting are, I don't know. I don't want to say, I don't want to be mean, but like,
no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, because I made comments on people's videos. I made a comment the other day on a video because I'm going to Texas next week. So I was like searching for barbecue spots. Like, so I watched this barbecue video, and then I was talking to someone about this barbecue video, and they're like, "Oh, what place are you talking about?" And I was like, "Oh, I can't. Let me see." So I go to the video, back to the video. It's like 30 minutes long. They went to like 20 spots, and I'm trying to find in the video which spot I was talking about. There was no, you would figure if they went to these different spots, they would like catalog them, right?
Yeah.
They didn't. And then they didn't put lower thirds where they were. So if I'm skipping through the video, I can't like see the little title at the bottom.
Right.
And then, so I made a comment on it. And I was like, "Hey man, this video is super professional. It's super professionally done, but I can't find anywhere in the video where I need to go."
Right.
Like, you didn't put any titles. And then I saw, I made the comment and I was like, I'm not one of those people. But at the same time, I felt that comment was needed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, we've all done it. I made one time, a nicely done video. And he was talking about, like, 70s cars, rear wheel drive 70s, big cars. And he showed an Eldorado. And I was like, and I made a jackass comment. I said, "Oh yeah, talk about rear wheel drive car, show a front wheel drive car."
Yeah.
And then he's like, he commented back, but then it ended up being like, I'm like, "Oh hey, look, you know, sorry. I mean, I might have come across." And we like, by the time we worked it out in a couple comments, he subscribed to my channel, I subscribed to his channel, we moved on.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah, I've done that before where people will they'll comment and be like, "Love the video, hated the music."
Yeah.
And I'll be like, "Oh, sorry about that. What music do you want me to put in the next one?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm just kidding. I didn't think you were going to read the comment."
Yeah.
And that's, I was funny. Like, yeah, we do. We don't, we're not to the point where like where you get these comments, like thousands of comments. Like there's like 10 comments. Like,
yeah,
I'm
going to
read all 10 comments.
Oh, for sure. And heart them.
Yeah.
And try to respond, you know, like, yeah.
I even go back to the like old drop on your channel. I'll go back to the drop episodes and scour through and go to newest comment and see if anyone's re-commented, because you're not going to, after a while, you forget about those, but then you got to think, oh, some people are actually rewatching those from months and months and months ago.
Right. Finding them for the first time, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So I try to kind of, sometimes I'll try to go back every once in a while and just new comments, see if anyone asks a question or whatever.
Right on. I dropped a video, the Forbidden Fantasy Show video.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
You could tell that you enjoyed it.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, like even the show covered shots, you know what I mean? Like you were into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can always tell when you're not into a video and when you're into a video.
Right.
And that one you were into, definitely. The one thing, and this is my criticism, is don't call the asphalt area. And you caught yourself the first time, but you were drinking afterwards, so you didn't catch yourself.
Uh-huh.
The first time you said, "We're going to go into the other show area."
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, "We're in the parking lot now."
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair,
as a show promoter,
that
my show promoter side came out, like the guy that throws that puts together the show, and I went, "It's the asphalt area."
Yeah.
When you say the part, you're like degrading those people out there, and it was so funny because you were cognizant of it the first time.
Uh-huh.
You almost said parking lot, but your brain kind of, it almost like in real time, you went, "I don't want to call it the parking lot. That's like not a good thing."
Yeah.
And so, like in a millisecond, I saw your brain go. But then later, when you went back out there with flannel, you were like, parking lot, this place sucks.
Well, to be fair, the second time I went out there was more of a fun, like, you know, kind of like a lighthearted fun thing, you know? And like, I didn't mean to do it on purpose, but it was just like a thing like, okay, now we're going to go get in the mud kind of thing.
It was just definitely like we're out in the wilderness
part. In the wild.
Like we're in the uncaged area.
Yeah,
we're
the uncaged area.
The grass area is like this prim and proper. Everyone knew how to act. And then you kind of look over the fence and it's just like the coyotes out there.
Yeah. No, then that's what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to be mean.
It came across like that to me as the guy that.
Yeah.
Always has to deal with the, "I don't want to park on the part in the asphalt."
I totally get that.
Oh,
how do you think? What do you think about me cleaning up the questions and stuff?
Oh yeah, it was really hard for you to clean those questions up because of the way you asked those questions.
Right. Yeah.
So I
need to be
that.
more aware next time going into it, how I'm going to edit it. That's the first time I ever did that. So yeah, I was just trying stuff.
You could also tell it was the first time you did that by the question you asked
with the daily thing.
it was a, like the daily thing was cool, but the rim size on the daily, I was like, you could tell everyone was like, that, what, huh?
That's why I kind of said that, because it's such a, you're like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like it's, it like it is, it's easier for
you could say to, like what kind of rims, but the rim size on your daily, it's like most people is just like,
yeah, but yeah, they don't know. And that was kind of the point, yeah, was just but to be cool, like,
the cool part of it was like, what is your daily?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because that is like, to me as a viewer, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your daily? Oh, it's a 2500 Dodge. Oh, what's your, have you seen those TikTok videos where they walk into the dealerships and they're like, what is you, what do you drive and how much is your car?
Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should do
kinda,
that one.
It's kind of like, no.
Put people as on like blast.
Yeah. But as a person that has different types of dailies, and so you don't see some of these people's dailies sometimes, like that part is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the rim size on a date, like that doesn't, that piques zero interest, at least in me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So like, it'd be like, what's your daily is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, the question part was really good. So,
I had this whole other part too, that I didn't even begin to mess with, just because like we were saying, you want to keep it short. Cause even Angie was thinking that like that went a little too long. But I had this whole other part where I asked like another question where, first of all, I started off with like, if people could guess a movie quote. So I would say a movie quote and then people try to guess the movie. And then that kind of evolved into what's your favorite movie. And then that was a lot of fun. And then there's this great part with me and Oliver, cause you know, Oliver's like a movie guy. And, you know, this was, this, but it wasn't, it just, it was running long. It was already, so I don't know what to do with that. I have all this great footage of that, but I don't know what to do with it yet. Maybe make like a whole separate video of just that.
Yeah, make a whole separate behind the scenes or just nighttime vibes or.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah, I think you could have cool. put that on the end of the video and it would have been cool.
Yeah, I was just scared. You know, I was just, again, like, I don't want to. Again, like in the back of the mind, you hear that comment like, all right, man, where? All yeah, right, where's the trucks? It's like.
Yep. Yeah. So it's once you get over that, it's not really being scared. You're mm-hmm. just being.
Yeah,
hypercritical of yourself. You don't right. want to hear people knock you down. You know right, what I mean? Right, like right. you don't want to hear people's bullshit, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you watch it and you think it's fun, it doesn't matter what other people think, because yeah. more people are going to enjoy it than not. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. If you mm-hmm. look at that and you go, I really like this. You know, as long as it's not making anybody like. There was a section in my video when we were eating Hattie B's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I zoomed in on Jeff's face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? Jeff didn't care. But I remember I zoomed in really close on Lindsay's face.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a comment when I showed her that video.
Oh, she said, oh, hell no.
She's like, don't ever zoom that close. And I know she probably wouldn't care. But, like, in the back of my head, I was like, I'm not going to put that on the
video. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, as long as whoever you're showing is not in a, they're not going to be weirded out by it, then it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Maybe that'd be cool to do like a little like a little 2.0 or something like that. Because yeah, there is some
1.5, right?
Yeah, like, there's some great footage and great conversations and stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's great. I think have like just walking around at any show, you know, with the microphone and just talking, getting people's. It's also funny when you get confused. Mike does this too at Dino's. He like you'll start talking and you have the mic and then they'll start talking and then you won't bring the mic back to your face.
So
I would get one of those little microphones.
I eventually do want to do that. I tried it once a long time ago and maybe it was the wrong time, maybe I was had the wrong like mindset, but mm-hmm. when Shannon had his 50th birthday party out in Vegas,
I remember that, yeah,
and I tried to do that. It didn't work out well. It was awkward. It was like, but I was definitely trying to emulate a style.
Yeah.
You know, that
was when like, you were like heavy watching All Gas, No Brakes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to like mention it, but yeah, not that there's anything wrong with it, but yeah, I was like really heavily influenced by that. So I'd really try to emulate that. And it just was awkward and it didn't work.
Look at Dino's, this last Dino's when we had this great idea of are you garbage type mm-hmm. questions. And Mike went out and asked a bunch of them and he came back. He goes, hey, this ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, just switch it up then. Like, just do whatever, you know, like, cause sometimes the plan does not work out.
Yeah.
And you just gotta just go with it. So like, but yeah, walking around and you talking to people definitely like is, what it needs you for your videos to break up that show cover, because you got stuck in that rut of just like show coverage. Mm-hmm.
And it actually, like, by doing that little stuff on this particular video, I found myself, like you said, actually enjoying the show coverage.
Mm.
You know, I mean, not that sometimes I don't enjoy the show coverage, I'll be honest with you. But for this one, it was like all this other stuff going on. So when I did get into the show coverage, I'm like, oh yeah, I like this. I like this. I like this. It's flowing. It's all coming together, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, it breaks up the artsy part of it. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. And me, I'm like a fun guy anyway. So like, I like to goof around, you know? And
yeah,
so I want to kind of introduce that more, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. No, you definitely should. And you should do it at other shows besides Forbidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you have your microphone and just have it ready to go, like say we're at a show like LST where there's people constantly driving and walking by the booth.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just getting out there and filming the truck, or say you filmed a truck and you're like, oh, I filmed that truck when it went by a few hours ago. And then in your head, grab the microphone, run up to the driver and be like, hey man, tell me who you are and where you're from. And sometimes just that simple question will get you a fun answer.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of having just these trucks cruising by, you have this other element of now bringing them into the video.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it. Yeah, I would definitely love to implement that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So go watch the videos. Go watch Brian's video that dropped today, and go watch my video that dropped last week if you haven't yet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. My favorite part of my video was when Lonnie said, and I don't know how this trend started of people saying that they were me.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But it's definitely helping my brand recognition out.
Right.
You know what I mean? With the good, the last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he was like, I'm Brian Mother Effing Good, and this is Mini Nats, and it goes into that kid dragging.
Yeah. Lonnie is such a treat during the videos for like the Mini Nats videos and stuff. Not, you can't get him at LST like that. He's a little.
A little different.
Little busy. Little different, yeah. Lonnie. But
yeah, I just like pointing the camera at him and seeing what he does.
He's great. He just always is fun, and he always has something funny to say. And yeah, the whole like, I'm Brian Good thing. Who else does that? You said that it's starting a trend.
Well, the guy from Canada. The guy's from Canada.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. He said it too. Uh-huh.
Yep. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know it's if funny. Anybody else like said it. But those two people said it. And Lonnie always says it now.
Right, yeah.
Which is hilarious.
It's very funny. One other video that was interesting, was pretty cool, was our friend Oceanside Customs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he came over to your pad and kind of made a whole video about you, your projects, and kind of everything you had going on. That was fun. I enjoyed that one.
That was back in December. It was funny because, you know, he went to Ben's and Ben took him cruising around and they did all the dragging and it was super legit. And then he comes to my house.
Yeah.
His truck doesn't run, it's half apart, I don't have anything cool.
Yeah.
So like he's like finished filming the truck and we talked about it and I was like, all right, that's it, that's all I have. And I was like, well, I have this truck and then I have this truck, and then I was like, oh, I could show you the office thing, and there's a lot. You just forget how much interesting things that you have.
Well, it was cool because it gave you it. Not a lot of times we get to, maybe me a little more than you, but you definitely not. You don't really take the time to like. I'm gonna let me rephrase that. It's not that you don't take the time. It's like. You don't find yourself saying like, oh, I did this, or this is this, or this is this. So it was really cool. Someone else coming in and asking the questions, and then you being able to like, kind of like show those different things.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought it was cool. Cause it kind of get like, it gave a lot of people who maybe don't know a lot about you some more kind of insight to what was going on, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I don't talk a lot about what I do and all that stuff.
Like, you wouldn't just grab the Hall of Fame rings and be like, look what I have, you know what I mean? Yeah. But if someone said like, oh hey, what's going on with these things, then it gives you the opportunity, and then people kind of find something out interesting about you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's exactly
cool. Yeah, it was really cool. That guy, all that guy's videos are so much fun, man.
Like, they are. He does make them super fun. He'll do the editing and I go, oh.
That's how I feel when I watch your videos.
So I watch these videos, oh. I go, And then I just don't do it the next time, or the next time. You know, my goal though with this Mini Nats video was, because me and Lindsay had talked about this when we were talking about making our end of the year videos.
Mm-hmm.
She was gonna make one. I ended up making one. Wasn't gonna make one because I didn't have a lot of footage. And I go, man, I need to film just more random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that mindset. That's why I had so much footage, is because my mindset went to, I want all this footage to make an end of the year video.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up just being a lot of footage to make that video.
One cool thing that I liked about it was like, and where I'm going to steal this from you, Because what I would do is like I do, and this is just the way my brain works, is I do everything very linear. Yeah. This happened, this happened, this happened. You did, you mixed everything together. You mixed the goats, and then all of a sudden we were in the candy store, and then we were somewhere else. Like, you're just mixing this whole thing around. So I want to do that too, because it kept it, like, the pace up. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, okay, we did this, now we're doing this, now we're doing this, now we're doing this.
Yeah, yeah, it is definitely trying to keep that pace up. You know, that candy store clip, I was like, I had kind of run out of stuff. Not run out of stuff, but I didn't have... I liked it because my entire vision of going to Mini Nats for a week was because of one singular picture of an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
So I ended that whole montage of our travel and us getting there with that ice cream cone. Mm-hmm. And it was like, goal achieved.
Yes.
Now we can get in. Now we can get into what we are normal schedule.
Right.
And, but yeah, it's definitely like learning how to not always have to go in order.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can throw stuff in there. And even like the t-shirt, the reason I did that was because that t-shirt that I saw that said, you know, about like talking about wandering and traveling.
Or whatever,
I kind of zoomed out. And that was the end of it, right? That was just kind of like the, all right, we did this.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was great. I liked it all. It was really good.
We're on track to make good videos this year.
Hey, we're on track to make videos. Like that's. I mean, for me personally, that's like the biggest challenge, just producing videos. But like I said, I ran into a bit of a rough patch getting through this one, but I think I'm past it and I'm moving on. But yeah, I just want to keep up. I'm going to that Pink Motel show tomorrow. So, you know, I'm going to do some different content, which is kind of interesting because that one person said that I understand what he said afterwards about how he said that. I mean, using his words, he says that we're ignorant to other.
Other he said scenes it in a loving way. He said,
"Yeah, no. I'm not faulting him saying he did it." In
why any I went? I meant to go see if he commented because I made a comment back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, did he comment? He did, respond to mine. Yeah. Which part of the video was he talking? Because that's what I was like. I'm not going to go rewatch the podcast and figure out where we.
Right. Where so he made that. What his point was because like. I didn't really know how to really articulate like what I think like a three-piece wheel is, so I just called it a racy style wheel. Okay. I think that might have came across as ignorant in the fact that we don't know the proper terminology for these things, even though we've been doing like, you know, like you said, you've been going to import shows since the mid-90s, you know. Yeah. I grew up reading, you know, whatever that street race magazine was like. So we're very aware of the scenes and we're very aware of what they do, but I think it was just the like, I don't know what else to call three-piece BBS wheels, you know.
That's well, I'm the style. Same way. Like I don't, we will go to like we go to that Kyushu, that meet down here, you know what I mean, and Carl goes and he's like, oh, those wheels, oh, those wheels. And Ben's the same way. He's like, oh, those da-da-da-da wheels. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I always equate it to, I don't know the drummers to every single band,
right?
You but some people I do. Don't know. And some people do. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, well, you don't. You're not really into this if you don't know which guitar Kurt Cobain was playing in Nirvana's Nevermind. Like, and it was a Fender Stratocaster, da 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 da, with this type of PV amp. Da-da. And I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, they're cool.
I like the song.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
You know,
I like the wheels. They look cool.
Yeah. So sometimes that you're going to get that from us.
Yeah. So no. Yeah. So I understand that. But speaking of like interactions and stuff, we have to answer some questions.
Yes.
But before we do that, I want to do something really, really quick. Because I just looked at it. This is going to be really fast. Okay. I got this in the mail. We don't have to go. And what I'm holding up is the new Mini Truckin' magazine. We don't have to go into a... We're not going to sit here and go through the whole thing. I just want to take a quick second to recognize our good friend, Matt Stone, and his feature in Mini Truckin' magazine.
Congratulations.
Super freaking cool, man. It looks great. The photos are great. The truck looks great. He has like three or four sets of wheels. And so he could have put any one of his sets of wheels that he has on it. But these look killer. I really like them. Directional.
And the pictures are freaking cool.
Yeah. Like I said, the photos are freaking great. Everything was
Corey,
great.
Corey Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Congratulations. Really, really proud of you, dude. That was it.
Matt, you peaked.
You peaked. I know. What's he going to do now?
Nothing. There's nothing, man. He got, he's getting awards. He's out there with the truck. He's,
yeah.
Yeah.
He has to build another truck.
He has to body drop the next one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Or body drop this one.
Or that one. Yeah, no, you got to just do another one.
Yeah.
Because it's been, you know what I mean? You body drop, you're like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. But it's the same truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to build a Tacoma, be part of the Tacoma crew.
He just needs to be a better mini trucker.
The guy who has a feature in. Where's the cover, Matt? Where's the cover?
Where's the body drop, Matt?
Just kidding, Matt. Giving you a hard time.
Do better.
Do better. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up real quick. Now we can get into questions. You want to drop it in?
All right, let me drop it in.
All right, drop it in.
See if it even works.
Drop!
Drop it in.
Drop in.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
Drop it!
That's it. All right. So we do have to not apologize, but we have to say... Sometimes when we're checking the drop Instagram, mm-hmm. for some odd reason, it's different for you and different for me. Yeah. So there are things that we miss.
Mm-hmm.
And then
quite often
we answer and talk to people differently.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you answer somebody, sometimes you don't retain the, sometimes you don't retain what the person's, you're just like, cool.
Yeah.
And then you move on,
yeah.
with your life. And then, so we kind of, and then I do the same thing sometimes too. So we kind of forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking crap right now because I'm trying to look for all these questions. Because
well,
my phone
I got who you're talking about in particular is our good friend Stretch. And he was asking some questions and he had some good questions. And I'm all looking too. Sorry about that, everybody. But anyway, he had some really good questions that he asked about a month ago. And he's like, hey, when are you going to go ahead and answer those questions?
So oh, no, he asked. Yeah, these were like beginning of March questions.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's like before Forbidden. Yeah. But anyway, we can just jump right into those. This is our buddy Stretch. Yeah, he has many. He has many Instagrams. He has many cool things going on. So, you know, I can't say, oh, go follow him here because he's got a lot of stuff going on. But our buddy Stretch. So he has a question. What is the maximum weight capacity that you guys can run with your trucks as far as trailers?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm there.
Well, I can speak
for some reason. I didn't. No. For some reason, I didn't put his. I have a drop album on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I just screen cap, I go to add drop album. So they're all in the one place. And for some reason, his wasn't there. So I was like, oh, crap. Anyways,
you got it.
Maximum weight capacity. We're going to circle around to this too in our conversation later, but Titans are 9,500 pounds and my Maverick is 2,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing with my Titan. Our Titans are a little bit different because both of our Titans had the tow package, which had the beefier rear end and the trans cooler in them.
Not beefier, technically, just differently geared.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, This is kind of a side note on this. When we were talking about that Lobo the other day on Instagram,
the one I saw,
or on messages, I was like, I need to look at those because I they're cool that Ford did that, you know, like lowering springs and wheels and the Lobo interior package, like, and how you mentioned that it was pretty fully loaded for like $36,000.
Yeah, the only thing that it was missing that I went back and saw was it was missing the hybrid part.
Don't come in hybrids.
Oh, they don't? Oh, okay.
No, and they also don't tow 4,000 pounds, even though they have the 4,000 pound towing thing.
Really? Oh,
that's yeah, because the way the transmissions are geared.
So what do they rate them at?
And they might come in hybrids. Don't quote me on that. But they're rated at 2, just like the other ones.
Really?
Oh, yeah, so even though you're paying for the all-wheel drive, you're paying for the tow package and all that stuff, it's the way that, because they're sportier, and this goes back to me going, don't buy a Lobo. Just buy a really well-equipped Maverick. Buy lowering springs and buy wheels.
Hold on. So the towing capacity is that you're talking about is just strictly for the Lobo? You can still get a regular Maverick all-wheel drive that can tow 4,000 pounds? Is what
yeah, you can. You've always been able to get one of those.
Okay, because the way that you said it, I just thought maybe the newer 2025 Mavericks they just leave it at 2. You're just talking about the Lobo package.
Just the Lobo. Even though it's all-wheel drive, even though it's got the tow package, it is not because the transmission, the way it's geared. But
I see.
You can get both now the EcoBoost and the Maverick that will tow, or and the hybrid that will tow 4,000 pounds. Okay. So that, I was thought that was interesting, and I was just like, man. But yeah, so yeah, going back to the Titan, the reason that different Titans tow different is because of the gearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both our Titans are similar in that. My Tundra, they say it's rated.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're never going to tow with it.
Well, I've towed my vendor trailer quite a few times. I'm going to tow the Airstream.
Soon-ish. Yeah, but the vendor trailer can be towed with a Maverick. That's true. We're talking about some heavy loads here.
I know. I haven't towed a truck yet. I haven't towed the 4Runner or anything yet. So, but I was just saying that, like, they advertise that thing at 11,000 pounds or whatever, or 10,000 pounds. But I've seen them, like, on Reddit, like on the Tundra subreddits and stuff. There's some dudes trying to pull, like, 32-foot RV trailers. And they're I don't know. That might be a little much for them.
I used to pull a 32-foot trailer with the Titan.
No, I know the Titan could do it for sure, but I'm just saying.
Well, so can the Tundra. The Tundra is more towing capable than the Titan.
Oh, I don't know.
The reason you see people sag is because they're not balanced. Just because you can tow 11,000 pounds doesn't mean that you can tow 11,000 pounds, any 11,000 pounds. Like, if you put a prop, like, you need to get like the over a certain amount of weight, you need to get lift bars over maybe a certain amount of weight, even from the factory. Cause that's what a lot of people see. They go, oh, my truck can tow 10,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. But if you read the small print over a certain amount of weight, the factory requires you, like, says, get lift bars, get the, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times, they're just overweight on the tongue.
I found out something, since we're just talking about my Tundra, I found out something interesting about it. So one thing that bugged me ever since I got it was it would do this thing. I even took it back to the dealership because I thought something might be wrong with it. But if you're cruising and you just kind of like do like a California stop, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You talked about this before.
And then you hit the gas. Like, if you're rolling and you like slow down and then you go to take off again, it's got this lag. And so I took it to the dealership. Maybe there's something wrong with the transmission. Transmission's fine. I thought, oh, maybe this is the turbo lag. So, yeah, that might have made sense, whatever. But actually, I found out exactly what it is. It actually has three drive modes. It's got an eco, a normal, and a sport. And I usually just drive in normal. But what it does is it changes the sensitivity of the throttle. Mm-hmm. So you're not, you know, always jamming on the throttle, which you know how I drive, right? So, you know, I'm constantly jamming on the throttle. And so, like, one day I'm like, oh, what happens if I put in sport? I'm like, oh.
It's wild to me that you bought a $55,000 truck and do not know anything about it.
You know, it's like, hey man, it's like little Easter eggs. It's like little surprises.
Those aren't little. That's a big part of the a little surprise would be like, oh, there's a little pocket right here in the glove box. not drive modes. The first thing I would do is get in there and put the drive mode on and see what happened.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Yeah, I just figured that out about a week ago.
That's funny.
So, but the only thing that sucks now is like you can't keep it in that mode. So, like,
no, it always, every it, time it, I get it's in law, by law, they have to start in normal.
Oh, really? Oh, because now you got to get in it. But now I'm trying to make it a habit. So when I get in it, first thing I do is start the truck. I put it in sport mode and then I hit the because I can turn off the automatic on, you know, when the shuts off, turn that thing off, because it's not like a Ford, because I guess Ford's like every time you stop, they shut off. And every time you take off, they turn on, where the Tundra, You can go, when you come to a stoplight, it gives you the options. Like, hey, if you want to turn off the motor, push the brake some more and it'll shut down the motor. Okay. And then it'll go. So it doesn't bother you during the driving, but when you stop and you put it in park, it'll shut off. But then, like, say you were in the habit of putting it in park and then opening your door before you turn off the truck or whatever, it'll fire back up. So it almost does this thing where you put it in park, it goes whoom, and then you open the door and it goes whoom, and then you go to turn off and it goes whoom. Does that make sense?
How stupid that sounds. Is that how you describe when you have a problem with the dealer?
I'm standing at the dealer going, yeah, and he goes, right?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, that's the da 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 da.
Hey, you know what, though? Talking about the dealer specifically, this is not talking shit about people who work at dealerships, by the way. Maybe it is. I don't know. But if they plug it in and it doesn't say anything's wrong, nothing is wrong with the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to go any farther than that.
Exactly. So, like, I'm saying, like, yeah, when I first took it, and I was like explaining the problem. And it's like, yeah, you know, maybe when you drive it, just do this. They're like, we're not going to drive this thing. We're going to plug it in.
And if they're like, sir, the problem is you haven't driven a new vehicle in 30 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, that's your problem. Yeah. But anyway, whatever.
No, that's funny. Back to our we kind of got a
I know sorry a lost sorry on stretch. There. All right, so the second part of his question all. Second of all, how many events do you go to where you're able to actually use your trailer as a booth practically? I think he's alluding, because I think he's referring a lot to like when we were talking about the vendor trailer situation and maybe possibly a new trailer with the all that stuff that we were talking about.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, we use, anytime we take your trailer, it's useful in the fact that it's for like security and storage,
mm-hmm.
you know? And yeah, the trailer stuff is, will get interesting. Someone else asked about the trailer too. And, mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that's pretty, that we were really impressed with about, because we've used my trailer for like 10 years now. We've been using it a long time. But what we kind of like a few times in this last trip to Mininats that we kind of like, were like, whoa, is like, we rolled up to Mininats with this tiny little 10 by 10 trailer and rolled out a, 20 by 60 or 70 foot booth with three different companies with fully stocked with merch in this little tiny trailer.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Even when I went to Moab and just had the Maverick, you know, no trailer or anything. And Joe goes, man, you fit a lot in there.
You got to know how to pack it, baby.
You got to know how to pack it. Yeah. You got to know what to bring and what not to bring. And,
and
you know, you don't need a box for everything, you know, like,
yeah,
I put all my, like, I have a supply box that has tablecloths and, you know, miscellaneous. But what I've learned is when I take the Maverick, I take that box out and I just put the tablecloths in the shirt boxes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And then I put another thing in one shirt box. So if I have 8 shirt boxes, I can put all the, I can put a bunch of stuff in those, just, you know, that are flat or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the last, all the years that we've been doing this, subconsciously and consciously, we've been like refining this whole process. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're always figuring stuff out, like, oh, we could do this. And sometimes it's like the most obvious stuff. We're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
You know, like when we stood the Easy Ups up, when you showed up to my house that one time and you're like, check this out. And I'm all, why didn't we do it? But remember when we just had it all on the floor and we're trying to stack stuff on top of it, like idiots?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
I was like, this is genius.
This is just constant refinements and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let me read over this real quick, his next part to this.
Yeah, it doesn't really make it. He's just, I think he's thinking out loud there.
Okay. About the gear?
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's days of his one for you, Brian, into the trailer situation. Oh, he kind of, okay. Yeah, which is funny. He talked about this and then the, because this, don't forget, this is early March. So he was saying that in episode 150, we're talking about trailer situations and you were kind of hinting on some video footage coming out, like a trailer series, which you kind of did. You added that to the Forbidden Fantasy video.
Yeah. No, okay. No, I added it to the last video.
Which one was that one?
It was the red truck.
Oh, this is a red truck video. So that was that was pre-Forbidden. That's right.
It was after Forbidden.
I know, but that situation was pre-Forbidden.
Yes, I'm sorry. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's, I mean, but that's like sort of part of our whole kind of universe is trailers and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll definitely be talking, like you said earlier, we'll be talking about trailers more. And, trailer talk and tow-in talk.
Trailers will definitely come up. Man, this is so stupid.
What's that?
The just the way that these phones now try to like,
oh
no, the way these phones like try to make things better for you, like,
oh yeah, the new,
I went to just I'm in my album and I'm trying to like scroll through the pictures and there's now a photo and a movie.
Yeah,
it will take your freaking pictures and make them into a slideshow movie. And I'm like, why is there a play button? So I play and there's music on it. I'm like, I just want to scroll through the photos.
Yeah,
I sound like an old man.
Well, no. A lot of people have complaints about the new Apple iPhone like photo library situation. It's funky.
Garbage.
Yeah, it's all
just very funky. Show me my photos.
Yeah.
Or when you go to freaking save a photo from a message that you were talking about like a month ago, and it saves it in date order, so yes, it's not the newest photo. I'm like,
yeah, that's really annoying. Oh well. But anyway, we got a couple more questions or you looking?
Oh, we got a bunch of more questions.
Let's go.
Mike Bach. Mm-hmm. He says, "Hey, question for you. What is your all-time song or songs to cruise to?"
Oh yeah.
I don't mean road trip playlist. Mm-hmm. Just you, your mini truck and one song. I'm old, so Fresh Prince, Summertime. Close second would be In Too Deep, Back to the Hotel.
Oh, I thought that was yours. I'm like, dude, no, I've never heard you listen to that one.
No. But
it's really surprising.
Those are really great songs in a mini truck to cruise to.
They are. Those are good songs. Yeah. I should have thought about this. Do you have any right off the top of your head?
No. Sublime, Offspring. And I'm just, that just takes me back to like high school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's what I would play in high school would be Sublime or Offspring.
I was in high school, I was kind of like into bass and stuff like that. So I listened to a lot of weird things like, do you remember a band called The Crystal Method?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. There was this band, were they band or group? They were called Lords of Acid. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Dude. They had some crazy albums. I used to bump those all through high school.
Oh yeah.
For me, you know what? Honestly, if I was to pick a song to throw on and cruise and just really vibe to, would be a Bone Thugs song. The names escape me, but the Eternal 1999 album, it came out in the mid 90s. A lot of the songs off that album, like, so I wouldn't say a song, but if I could put on an album that I could just cruise and vibe to, it'd be that song or that album, Eternal 1999 by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Let's see. Some of these are a little deep.
Let's get deep, baby.
Let's see. Adam James. Sometimes when I screen cap these, I can't read the whole name. TrackRat_13 said, do you guys think that shaved corner lights and similar early 2000s era mods are out of style? I didn't even have a driver's license when this was popular. And now that I want to build a mini, I notice these mods are getting a lot of hate.
I never liked those the shaved corners. This is just my opinion, by the way. I did love that time in the early 2000s where the mods were getting crazier and crazier and crazier. Like that was fun to see what people would do. But when it was like shave the taillights, nice. Shave the tailgate, sick. Shave the roll pan, cool. But then it was like, yeah, shave the front markers. Now shave the this to the point where people were shaving extra cab windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I was guilty of that on for a very first truck. We went really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, shave corners. I had them on my Tacoma.
I remember.
And now I don't want them on my Tacoma, and it's not, and I just, it's because I don't like the look of them. It's like, have you ever seen a Honda Civic and where they shave just the outside lights and not the trunk lights?
Oh, or yeah.
Just the trunk lights and not the outside lights. And again, we were doing those things not because they look cool, because there was something to do to be different. And that's what many truckers do, right? Mm-hmm. So I get it on that fact. But sometimes you got to stand back, look at the vehicle and go, am I doing this just to do it? Or am I doing this because it looks good?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what you do. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, we're not here to tell you what to do.
Yeah. You know, there's things on my truck that I stand back and go, nope, I wish I would have done this differently. But, yeah, I think it, just having corner lights completes the look of the vehicle. When you cut it off, it just gives this harsh line, and the headlights look out of place. So that's my personal opinion. But I think those, I think those mods. If you want to do them.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, people are asking our opinions, and my opinion is true. I don't like them either. For the exact same reasons, because it just like my biggest. Not biggest pet peeve, but what bothers me is when people shave the corners and then do a phantom grill and the grill just stops. Like it doesn't flow. Like nothing. So like you're taking away the flow of the whole front end by shaving in the corners.
Yeah. But there is the one that Body Drop Clothing has, the Tacoma.
The brown one?
Yeah. It's all shaved. I love that truck. I love the shaved corners. I love the front. And I don't know what it is about it. I think they have the right set of wheels on it, and it's the right color, and it's like the right stance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this looks good. If they did anything different, it was a different color, I might have a different opinion about it. But yeah, it's just like it hits all the right notes for me. And some notes I'm like, usually that I'm like, no, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I really like that. It's like weird. Phantom Grills. I'm not a big fan of Phantom Grills, but I think that one looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody has those things. Like my thing is like, my front end mod on my favorite front end mod ever is a chrome Toyota bumper on a Mazda.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks so sick, you know, but that's everybody has their own personal preference.
But even those can be done wrong. and if they don't line up the corners, if they suck them in too much, if they, you know, like, because a Mazda is very square and a Toyota bumper is very round. So sometimes when you look at that corner, where the corner marker is, the corner marker, it's not round like a Toyota. It's very squared off. And then you go look 2 inches down and you have this round bumper. So like, that's another one of those mods where everyone was putting Toyota bumpers on everything because everyone thought it was the coolest thing. And then you, now I look back at some things and I go, no, that didn't really make sense.
Which is funny because I on a Mazda, I think it's a little more forgivable because although Mazdas are very square, that front fender swoops down like this. So it does give a little
curvature. That part. Yeah. When you're on a, from a side profile.
Right.
I'm talking about this part of it.
Which my thing is on a Nissan, I don't think it looks good because a Nissan is completely
very
square.
Harsh lines.
Yeah, yeah, there are very hard lines, and when you put that bubbly bumper, that makes a lot of sense. But go for it, Mike. Man, shave everything, dude.
Yeah, do it, man.
Shave the if you have an extra cab, shave the extra cab windows. While you're at it, just shave the regular windows.
Also,
and it'll look like a tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make it, dude. Shave the crap out of it. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Bo Naquin. I'm not going to spell it. He said, good morning, Frank and Brian. Just got back from vacation in Tennessee, and we spent a day in Memphis, and I brought the family to eat at Hattie B's. We enjoyed it. Worth the stop. Discuss this, but when was y'all's first visit there, and why did y'all stop to eat there the first time, and what spice level do y'all get? We got mild, and it was still spicy.
We usually get hot. Like off the bat, we get hot.
The first time we stopped there was our first trip to Minionettes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was because anytime we go anywhere, we want to not eat McDonald's, even though we eat McDonald's every single morning for breakfast. But
yeah, that's true.
You know, we wanted to hot chicken, Nashville hot chicken. So I remember I Googled the original Nashville hot chicken, and it was one of them was Hattie B's. So that's where we went.
Yeah, and then we were going the first one we stopped because we have one that we always stop at, which is I wouldn't even know. I think it's the east side of the city.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. The first one we went to was right near the college. What's it called? Starts with a V. I don't know. Anyway. Anyway, it was near that college, but there was no parking, so we kind of pulled in there. We're like, this is not going to work with the trailer, so we left. And then that's when we found the other one. And it's funny because when we pull into that neighborhood, we basically park on the same street every single year.
In front of the same house?
In front of the same house.
Every single year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was, it was cool. The first experience was really cool. The very first time we went, now that it's all coming back to me, I didn't even get the chicken sandwich. I got the chicken pieces.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, which was, they were really good. And now, maybe I should get that next time. Now, because the sandwiches are good. But, kind of want to change
it up. Just get
both, man. Screw it. Get both.
Yeah. Well, it's like when we went to do the C10 show there, we went to Princess. Because Princess was an OG spot. And it was a totally different vibe.
Oh, way different.
And it was freaking good. But they didn't have sandwiches. We just got chicken.
Yeah, it was just... And it wasn't even bone chicken. It was boneless chicken, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. And then we tried that one place, Party Foul, which was terrible.
I would give Party Foul one more chance. Only because, for one, the service sucked.
Yeah.
And it ruined the entire experience. Mm-hmm. And two, we got way too hot.
Yeah, we put up a little more than we could do on that one.
So, literally. I would like to give them another shot. But I'm not I can't wait to give them another shot. I'm just if we happen to be walking by at the right time and we are hungry, I'll give them another shot.
It's interesting this person went to the one in Memphis.
I think rowdy. Just went to a Hattie B's wherever there was a Hattie B's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've said this before. What's interesting is there's a Hattie B's in Vegas. Mm-hmm. There's a Hattie B's at the Nashville airport, actually, that you can get food at, which was all decent. It's all pretty good, but it misses just the vibe.
Yeah, it's the vibe. Because it's the same thing. It's just the vibe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the vibe at the actual restaurant is you have younger people working there, so they're kind of everybody who came up to us and asked really super friendly, but also you could tell that they're the vibe. You could tell there was a vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making a point here, but yes.
All right. Well, this is the last one that we'll answer today, and we'll get to the rest later. Mm-hmm. This is from Stuart Custom Inc's Clothing.
Ah, Stuart, what's up, man? How's those Gildans going?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Gildan right now, actually. It's not my shirt.
They're not, it's not a new Next Level?
No, they don't print on Next Levels anymore.
Oh. got too expensive.
Yeah, basically.
All right, couple questions here. One, trivia. How many times does Brian say the word vehicles in the intro? Should it be more or less?
I say it one
too many times within the five words of each other.
Yes. I always notice that, and I always chuckle every single time.
Me too. And I always go, I'm going to change that, and I never do.
No, leave it. Leave it, leave it.
Yep. Two, after the high we all got for Mini Nats, does it change your goals for future events? Example, more mini truck stuff regardless of size or still wanting C10? Other events, we all talk about being a part of many different genres, but the mini truck scene is diehard and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Stuart have talked about this. He was talking on Euro events and mm-hmm. import events and stuff. And you've talked about that. I've talked about that. And then, goals for future events. It kind of did supercharge me a little bit to go to more.
Mm-hmm. Mini truck style events or just events?
Any events. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Like, because I don't look at like mini truck events. That's me. And that's this. But then the C10 events, the truck events, I have just as much fun at those too, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, to me, it's all the same. When you start getting into the Euro stuff, it's different.
Yeah. I've tried those Euro events, not vendoring, but just going to them. And like, I've talked about this before, but the clean culture events. It just like maybe it was that one that I went to. It wasn't really my vibe. I like every scene, I guess, kind of is a little different. Like I obviously love the main truck scene. That's what we do. But the C10 scene is the more I get involved in that one, the more I like it's like it's just a different vibe. Like those guys are kind of different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels like the C10 vibe, it feels like a truck run every time. It doesn't matter where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, like you go to Dino's. Yeah, and Dino's is a spectacle. But once you get into the infield where all the clubs are barbecuing and stuff, mm-hmm. it just feels very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned that before. You've said that before. Not that the mini truck scene isn't welcoming, but it is a different vibe at the C10 events.
It definitely is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Who were we talking to? Oh, we were talking to Phil. And this has kind of been on my mind. Not a lot, but it's popped into my mind since we talked to Phil. And his whole thing about how when he came out to California in like 2007, how like segregated the clubs were and how that there was that attitude of like, you know, oh, I'm in this club, I don't talk to that club kind of thing. Which I think is to kind of go against what he's saying about that. I think that's changed a lot over the years. I think it has melded together. It's way, way, way different than it was in the early
2000s. I don't know if something's rubbing, but it's just like a constant rub.
That's probably this.
Nope.
I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's just when you talk, it feels like your microphone right here is rubbing on your shirt, but it's not.
But you can hear me through this, right?
Yeah, I can hear you through that.
I don't know. That's weird. I was going to say, and I think I said this to Phil during that time where I was like, yeah, you got to understand we were all like in our mid-20s at that point. So like we were all kind of like dumbasses, you know? But what I'm leading up to is in the C10 world, that never existed. So it has always been a very all-inclusive, like one kind of like mutual thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's where that feeling comes from, because we've talked to people who have said the exact same thing, like, oh man, these going to C10 shows are like way different, they're way, and they use that same word too, more welcoming.
And now I was, it's like, getting worse, your voice,
it's what's going on.
Okay,
now I'm recording again, so there's gonna be a little gap right there.
No, that's fine, but, it's still doing it
anyway. We were just talking about the welcomeness of the C10 thing. Anyway, moving on. You said that was the last question. Are we done?
No, we're not done. We still have the slate to talk about.
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to get into that, because we've already been kind of discussing.
He has a third part to this too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
As much as you don't think it will, the new trailer will change your life and perspective on vending.
Oh, this is, I forgot we're talking to.
To Stuart.
To Stuart. Sorry.
Yeah. And I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with it in certain ways, but I disagree with it in the fact that, because I know what he thinks. He thinks we're going to vend out of it one time and then forever want to do it.
Right.
And that's not going to be the case.
I don't think so. We've talked about that, like when we were talking about the whole trailer talk in a couple episodes ago. It's just more options. It's different tools to use. Like I'm very happy with how our booths are set up. I really, really like it. It's just, we just sometimes get in those things where it's a pain in the ass, like with the weather and stuff.
I'm going to put a notch in that, or a little asterisk in that. I'm the same, except when there's weather, I hate it.
No, I know. That's exactly what
I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm just saying, so like you have to add that caveat in I love the booth now when the weather's perfect.
Yes.
But even when I went to Moab and I was vending that show, the wind kicked up twice and took all three tables and flung them across the street.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did you
flung them across the street, but they fell. Mm-hmm. All the hats went across the street.
Oh, my gosh.
And that happened twice. And if we were in a trailer, that wouldn't happen.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Right. Like, I love it, but right now, I hate it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the hatred, which this happened at LST, overrides the love for the booth.
Oh, yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Do you remember a couple years ago when the wind kicked up and knocked over my tables at LST? And I'm just like, nope. Yep. Packed that shit up. We're done.
Yeah. Then that's how it happened the second time. The first time it did it. Uh-huh. But then also it was kind of my fault because I could have had walls on the back of the thing. But the wind was so strong for those few seconds that I think it, because it picked up the booth with water bags on all six legs.
It off the ground, like a little bit?
Oh, yeah. It would have flung that thing across the street if we were not holding on to it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's rowdy. Then Slosh Tubs came down and brought us kettlebells. Mm-hmm. So I hung the kettlebells on the center post along with the water bags, and it still moved it the second time.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's super crazy.
So again, I think it's going to be, I like the options. So we're going to have, like me personally, I have my Maverick option, right? Which I can fit all of my stuff in there. And then we have the option of if me and you go, we can take the Maverick in the little trailer. We can take the Titan or the Tundra with your trailer. And then if all three, Lindsay goes too, we can take your trailer, same thing. But we're also getting to a point where even that is becoming an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger trailer will allow of my truck to go in there and the booth to go in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the more options.
Yeah,
yeah. I know what that scratchiness is that you're talking about, because I can hear it too. It's when one of us is talking, I think the mics are picking up the sound.
And it's not doing it anymore.
Oh, that's weird. Anyway. I just thought I'd interject that.
It almost felt like we went the hour and the road program was like, okay.
Yeah, we're done.
I needed to like a reset.
it's only used to doing an hour. It's like, okay, you guys are done. All right, cool. Moving on. But we have one more topic to talk about. I don't know how long we're going to talk about it, but we'll get into it.
It doesn't matter. These things can be way over an hour long.
Yeah. The Slate truck is kind of like a new hot topic right now. A lot of people are pre-ordering them. A lot of people who I was surprised who are not necessarily into EVs.
Well, this is for the thing, right?
Yeah.
Take the EV part out of it. It doesn't matter.
We're just talking about trucks.
Because to me, with these types of people that are not types of people, it's pretty bad. They don't, all of a sudden, they don't care about that it's electric.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about any other vehicle and they're like, ooh, scary electric car.
Yeah.
And then you talk, but you give them a truck and you're like, oh,
ooh, little
that's
truck.
Kind of cool. Little I like truck. Little that truck. Looks, yeah, I like little truck. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait, it wasn't fine for the other people that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's start here. So what I did was I went through and I watched this video. It was by Motor Trend, and they kind of went through the whole, explain what the Slate truck is and everything it is. So I think we'll start there. We'll list everything that's going on with it, and then we can discuss it. First of all, this video is awesome, because if you go watch it, it's the search Motor Trend Slate video on YouTube. Because what's awesome about this thing is one, yes, the Slate truck is a small vehicle, and this guy who's showing it off, he's like talking about it, and he gets to this point in the video where they turn it into the SUV with the rear seats, and he's sitting in it, and he goes, you know, it is a little bit tight back here, but it may be different because I'm 6'10".
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Whose idea was it to get a 6'10" man to show off a tiny little truck to make it look even smaller? So the perception of this video is a little bit off, which I found hilarious. But let's get into it. All right. So the Slate truck is a newer all-electric truck. It's I guess it's backed by Amazon, Jeff Bezos. Like, it's an Amazon truck, which is also funny because that's what Tanner calls your truck, is the Amazon truck. This is a literal Amazon truck. The base model, the whole thing behind it is they are very stripped down. They're very basic to begin with, but they're very customizable. So we'll start with like the stripped downness of a base model. A base model has no power windows. It has crank windows, but part of the customization is you can add. Let me get to that part later. Let me just start with the base model. No power windows, crank windows. It only comes in one color option. That's it. It is a two-seater, single motor, rear-wheel drive with 150-mile range. The whole vehicle is smaller than a Maverick. It doesn't even have a stereo in it. It has no stereo. It just has a very small little screen in the front that is your command center for the whole truck. It does... one of the things that this, I have this like little asterisk here is like, you look at the truck and even when it's in the SUV mode, you're looking at it. You're like, man, I don't know if I want to be in an accident, this thing, but it is actually a very safe vehicle. It has 8 airbags in it. It has to meet a certain criteria for, you know, being safer on the road. So it's sort of like a little, you get a little misconception of it. All right. Now let's talk about the customization of it. Everything is customizable. Literally everything is customizable, down to the headlights and taillights. They have, you can change the covers on the tail, on the headlights. You can take them out. It says slate on the front, but you can actually pop that off and you can custom make one with your own logo. You can do whatever you want. The taillights are interchangeable. They're actually interchangeable and you can flip them around because they're the exact same taillight.
Cost savings.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the exact same taillight. You can change the interior panels because, like I said earlier, the interior is very, very basic, but you can change all the interior panels. You can add stuff to the door panels for cup holders. You can add a bigger screen. You can use an iPad or a bigger phone, or they have a screen that you can get. This is also one of my favorite parts of the customization is, before they mention that you can add, there's an actual speaker that fits into the space. He's like, just use your home Bluetooth speaker, which... I could imagine just like a lot of mini truckers do that when they don't have stereos in their truck. They just throw a little Bluetooth speaker in there. We're almost done here. This made me laugh so hard. In the dash, there's this like strip. And so you can change the color of the strip. But you can also buy little charms that you can slide into the dash, just like a croc. So you can have little croc charms, but for your slate truck in the dash. I was wrong, and then I clarified it. Like, so I said it comes in one color. It only comes in one color, but you can remove every single panel off of the truck. And this is interesting because I thought that they sold other panels that were different colors. No, what they sell is they sell the vinyl to wrap your own pieces. And if you're, and this also made me laugh. If you're not proficient in wrapping, like there are some companies that's their sole job is to wrap stuff. But if you're just some dude, they actually have helpful YouTube videos on their website that shows you how to wrap panels. I don't know how well that's going to go. A little cool thing that I found interesting is they're going to have like a community of people to share ideas to, because a lot of these, like the headlight covers are 3D printed pieces. Like, so there's going to be a whole community of people who can share plans with each other and like come up with different designs for the covers and stuff. It can, so like I said, it comes as a two-door, single cab, basically single cab truck, but it can be turned into an SUV, which I really liked, in a bunch of different configurations, not just like a five-seater SUV. You could do like a half top, a full top. You could add the roll bar into it. That's it. That's all I've written down. So now we can discuss.
It's never going to be made.
You don't think they're not? So
will be made. They will be made. They just won't succeed. So here's my notes, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, first of all, it's a cool idea. I love it. You know, but the problem is the market's not dictated by us. The market's dictated by new car buyers. These people that, so all these people that got excited for this truck, they roll down windows, simple, you know, standard cab pickup, da da da. Those are nostalgia people. Those are people that want manual transmissions, right? But the market's dictated on new people that buy new vehicles, like these younger people and stuff like that. So when, like Tacoma, 2014 was the last time they offered it in standard cab because less than 1% of their sales were standard cab pickups. So you're going to tell me a truck that's not $20,000, the truck is $27,500, and that's what they say that it is now. So
how
by
do
the
they
time
get away with
out,
saying that it's 20? Like what?
The tax credit.
Oh yeah, I had that written down.
Yeah. So yeah. And the tax credit will be going away soon because of the new administration. Oh. So
okay.
The truck is 28,000. Oh. Now you have a truck that's $28,000 that tows 1,000 pounds.
Oh wow.
That goes 150 miles.
That's 250.
You have to add the battery pack.
That's
so
that's
we're talking about price point.
You're talking about
$28,000.
Okay.
For $28,000.
All right.
You get a truck that, for one, have you looked at it from the side view?
Yeah.
It looks fucking terrible. The back wheel is almost at the back of the truck. All right.
It is a little funky. But I like
funky. No, it's stupid looking. Have you ever looked at a extra cab Titan long bed and said, that's cool?
No.
Then you cannot look at this truck and say that this is cool. You're looking at this truck from a very jaded aspect.
I understand that, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Anyways, let's get back to this. For 28 grand, you get a truck with two seats, no power windows, no radio, no anything, okay?
You're making a very good point right now.
All right. It's got a 5-foot bed. Its range is 150 miles. It's not painted. So when you said like it only comes in one color, like that's the color of the plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
1,400 pound payload, 0 to 60 in 8 seconds.
That's a long time.
Or for $28,000, you get a crew cab that seats 5 comfortably, power windows, cruise control, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, tows 2,000 pounds. Payload's 1,500 pounds. The range, infinity.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, when it could, like the range is the miles per gallon equates to the electric car. So like if you're saying, oh, it's an electric, you never have to buy gas. That's completely true.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a cost to that. You know what I mean? So like.
Well, the biggest point that you made to me that always sticks with me now as far as like hybrids and small, displacement motors are concerned is the $4 gallon of gas that you're buying that I buy in my Tundra is different than what you buy in your Maverick. It's not the same thing. You can't compare the two. And that's always stuck with me. Like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like, I love this idea of this simple truck. This thing to me, I would be advocating if it was 15 grand or even if it was 20 grand, like they say that they advertise that the price is. Mm-hmm. But when you start to get into like, imagine if you want the SUV version with the extended battery, how much do you think that's going to cost?
Yeah, you're going to be pushing probably 35, maybe 30, higher.
At least 32, 33.
Yeah.
You know, because like the battery is the most expensive part of an electric vehicle.
Right.
You know, and so, and some electric vehicles are software locked. So they say it'll go 250 miles, but if you give us an extra 10 grand, we'll unlock the software and you can go farther.
I've been watching a few videos on the subscription cars now.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah.
But this is a hardware thing. So the cost is there, you know? And then I don't know. I think it's a great idea. I just don't know. You know, when it comes to price point and like, and just like and I say this also from like a jaded or a whatever it is mindset, because I have a Ford Maverick. Mm-hmm. So my decision to buy a Ford Maverick, I feel like is superior to someone's decision.
Well, like you always say, is you're defending your decision.
I'm defending my decision.
Right. But right.
I came to my decision after a very long time of deciding what is best, the best vehicle for my money.
Mm-hmm.
And my buying mindset is an entry level of buying mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go buy a $70,000 truck. I have to buy the cheapest truck that I can get the most out of.
Right.
And I think a slate, if you just buy it and, you know, imagine you start modding it too. Like how much are those modifications going to cost? And do you really want to sit there and put, you know, unwrap your truck in vinyl? Do you really want to sit there and unclick your taillights and click TED lights in? Like, we don't do that to our trucks now.
Mm-hmm.
So are we just doing it? Like, are we just saying it just to say it? Like, so I think it's a cool concept. I just don't know. Like, I don't understand why they just didn't make it a four-door.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. But I think it's cool. I think driving around town, to defend the 150 mile thing, it's plenty of miles. People think, oh, that's not. It charges from 20% to 80%. It takes 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Yeah. So like, and most people don't charge on the go. This is not a truck you're going to get in and drive across country and stop at charging stations.
Right.
I always think like me going to Pandas, if I had a Slate, I would hop in it at home. It'd be at 90% because a lot of these, I don't know what the battery tech on this is, but a little bit older battery tech and some current battery tech, you don't want to charge to 100 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the newer battery tech, you can charge to 100 and doesn't damage the battery. But say I charge to 90%. I drive to Pandas, which is 60 miles away. I drive home. It's 120 miles. Real world, if it says 150, you're going to get 120.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, so like it's enough, but. And that's from one far west part of town to one far east part of town. And most people aren't driving like that.
Right, right.
Like, look at you. What do you drive every day?
Yeah, probably 20 miles a day, if that, you know.
And Angie works, you know, what does she drive every day? So it'd 40 be like,
miles a day.
It'd be like a perfect vehicle for someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then think, how many times would you actually use it besides driving back and forth to work?
Right.
You know, like, can't put your kids in it. If you had the SUV version, you can, but yeah, you can't put all the softball stuff in it.
I don't know. I was checking out the back. Well, okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When we talked about when you were buying the Tundra,
yeah,
and I was like, just get a Maverick. Yeah. You're like, there's not enough room in it.
Yeah.
Well, now you're defending this thing that there's no room.
And I just sent you guys that picture from this last weekend when we went to the beach and a softball tournament and the beach, and it was the entire back of the Tundra. So yeah,
and when you sent that picture. When you sent that picture, I was in my head. I was like, this would work in a Maverick, but it would just be, you would have to like
condense but pack it a little tighter.
Yeah. In the Tundra, you just go,
woof. Yeah. Basically.
You don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got other stuff to worry about, like feeding your kids and people and the kids and everyone figuring their lives out and where to go. Like, you don't want to sit there and have to like concentrate on stacking things and making it work and like, yeah, that's my own thing with the Slate is like.
So my okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, so that's your reaction, like, and your thought process behind it. Yeah, look, I'm the guy who just figured out the sport mode in his Tundra, so I don't really think very deep on stuff. Okay, so let's start there with me. So when I first see this thing, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's neat. And then I start seeing people getting excited about it. And I'm like, okay, so now I'm going to start looking into it more. And me just being excited about things and like new things, I was like kind of hyping myself up. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is awesome. It started with like kind of in the beginning of our conversation about how I was excited to see people who aren't usually interested in electric vehicles interested in this truck. So that was sort of like one little thing that kind of like got me going in that direction. And then I got excited about it because I could see it. I do like odd things, because me and Angie, way back in 2005, her first car was a Scion XB. And it, funny enough, like that was the theme behind those XBs back in the day. They weren't like super customizable, but they were marketed towards younger people. But they were it divorces from the Slate truck. They advertised it as something a little bit opposite. They were like, here's this tiny four-door car that has power windows, stereo, air conditioning, everything. And I think we paid like $16 for it back then.
Yeah.
Which is, I know that's not the same. It's different from 20 years ago.
It's you're about 28,000. You're about like that price point.
Is that what it equates to about?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm thinking like an entry level, small four door. Think of a Scion XB. If it came out now, I think it would be roughly like
28 ish.
Yeah. Right around there.
Something around there. Yeah. So, it was marketed as a cheap car with a lot of options. The Slate is marketed as a cheap car that you can add a lot of stuff to. So as I'm getting myself hyped up for it, picturing this truck lowered, you know, doing, and then you see the ones where they make it like the marketing is really good because they get you hyped on it.
Well, like, that's where Bezos came in, because it's not Bezos's company. He's just an investor.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought this was a Amazon truck.
Yeah. So with Bezos money, man, you can make anything look good.
That's true. And like, so when they're showing this thing, like a little overland version sitting at the beat, like, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the hype, they got me hyped. But then I started thinking about exactly what you were talking about. How many people are going to sit there and disassemble their truck? Like, imagine you lived in LA, you don't have a garage, you park on the street. Like, are you just going to disassemble this freaking thing? No, like,
someone else is going to disassemble it for you
and charge you. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No. So
they're going to steal your steal.
I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know about that.
No, I know. But
I'm just saying that, like, it has really good intentions, but then not a lot of, like, follow-up thinking. Like, this guy's like the 6'10" guy. He's just like, yeah, man, pull out your headlights, pop off your hood, blah, blah, blah. And he says there's, like, cup holders for when you're working on it. Like you said, we are a very, very small minority of people who actually want to do that. Some fools just want to see little truck. Okay, now, well, yeah, but I don't like that gray color. I want the red. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So now that, like, to your point, like what you're saying is that cost just grows and grows and grows because now they have to pay someone to do the color change. They have to pay someone to turn it into an SUV. Yeah. It just gets out of control.
When I was at Panda's the other day, I was like, he's like, yeah, 20 grand, man. I live right down the street. I go, it's not going to be 20 grand.
Yeah.
You know, it would be 20 grand to, like, someone like us, you know, taxes, we use the incentive, like, da da da. But again, if that goes away, which it is supposed to go away, it's supposed mm-hmm. to expire, and they're not going to renew it. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage? That was the advantage, right? That was the thing was it's cheap, mm-hmm. not it's nice, it's cheap, mm-hmm. and it's cool looking because it's a nostalgia thing for us, but. In reality, we need and want creature comforts.
Yeah.
Like cruise control, mm-hmm. like power windows. You know what I mean? Like a back seat.
Yeah.
Like, we don't think we need these things. We always go, man, it would be so sick to have just the simplest truck with roll down back windows and manual locks and a 5-speed transmission and a vinyl bench seat until you have to drive one of those things.
Every single day.
Now, mm-hmm. I know there's people listening and they're like, yeah, I do that. Mm-hmm. And you are the very, very small minority. Yes. Mm-hmm. So my entire argument against this comes from the majority and the automotive industry, not right. us as mini truckers. You know, it's just this whole thing. It's just like, then my brain kind of went blank right there.
No, but it's like, okay. I could just follow it up with the thought of that. Like, that's what we've said a lot of the times about electric cars in general. They're not marketed towards us, you know, who want, you know, customizable fast cars. They're marketed to the fool who wants to go to work and not spend any money to do it. He wants to go to work, do his job, come home, and that's it. And then maybe he has other hobbies.
Well, I'm not even talking about the electric vehicle side of it.
Oh,
like uh-huh. taking the EV thing away from it. I'm just simply saying, like, you put a gas motor in the slate. And it's the same thing. People don't like it because of the EV or dislike it because of the EV. They like it because it's cheap.
Right. I see.
But in reality, it's cheap because it offers nothing. Mm-hmm. And who's actually going to buy that? Mm-hmm. Who is going
to especially actually... now we're getting used to, like, adaptive cruise control and it's kind of interesting how they're changing gears on the whole thing about, and I don't mean to keep on bringing up the electric car thing, but, you know, we're used to, like, Teslas that park themselves. And can, like, you can, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know if we're used to that.
Well, like, maybe not. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
No, what you're saying is we're used to creature comforts in our vehicles.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would say the normal population is used to creature comforts. Mm-hmm. And those creature comforts have gotten more standard over the years.
Right.
So if we were talking about this in 1995, we wouldn't be talking about cruise control or even power windows or anything. But it's mm-hmm. 2025. So you're like, if I were to go to spend 20, if I have a car payment, the thing needs to have cruise control. The thing needs to have power windows.
Right.
I don't want a car payment with roll up windows. Now my Tacoma, I love my roll up windows in it. I don't have a car payment. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
The insurance. This is an expensive vehicle to repair. So your insurance is going to be,
that's a great point expensive. As well. That's a really great point.
You know, so it's not like you're going and buying a 1987 pickup truck and your insurance is $40 a month.
Right. Yeah.
So
makes it makes a lot of sense. It'll be interesting to see where it all goes. If it, and like you said, even if it even takes off, because they're promising these things. They're promising these things in 2027, correct?
Yeah,
that's 2 years from now. Who's to say that any of this? I mean, and who's to say it's going to be the same truck? Like right now, I'm rattling off all these features or specs on this thing. It might not even be that when it comes out the other end.
I think it's a great idea, and it's a great kickoff point for these car companies to realize, because Maverick did the same thing, that to realize that we don't want a huge Suburban. We don't need a big truck. Like a lot of people just need something simple. But at the same time, we want creature comforts. So, I mean, even Toyota now, because remember Toyota was talking, they were talking about something and then they weren't talking about something. And now all the articles are talking about they're definitely 100% going to do
something. Is that true? Because I saw Ben post something about that.
There's all kinds of articles now said they're going to. But there's a big problem with that too. What's it going to look like? It's going to be based off a RAV4.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so how much is an entry-level RAV4?
Like 40.
How much is it? So you're going to take a Toyota pickup.
Yeah.
You're going to hybrid, put it in a, you're going to chop the back off of a RAV4.
Yeah.
You're going to put you're building a Ford Maverick essentially, right? But a Toyota version. So it's going to be Toyota, which is on many levels way better. Is it going to look like a truck? Is it going to be $28,000?
Oh, it's 100% actually $28,000.
Okay. So what is your selling point, right? You look at a Ford Maverick, the selling point of a Maverick. Is that they're inexpensive and you get a lot for what you get.
Right.
For your money. What Toyota's selling point is not money and value. Toyota's selling point is
Toyota.
That shit's expensive. It's a Toyota that's going to last you a long time.
Right.
But if am I going to buy a RAV4 truck for 40 grand or am I going to buy a Tacoma? I'm going to buy a Tacoma. Tacoma's, it's a truck. It's an on-frame, a frame-off truck where a RAV4 is a unibody.
Yeah.
So I just think that you have to give people a reason to buy things. And the slate, the reason that it was so
enticing,
we saw it enticing, was because they advertised it as 20 grand.
Yeah.
And so like, if it was 20 grand, cool. But it's not 20 grand.
Right.
So.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Conspiracy. Because it's so cheap, because it's only $50 to hold on to one. Put down $50 and 2 years from now, are you going to give a crap about $50? And they're like, oh, we'll give you your $50, but you got to do these three steps to do it. And most people are going to be like, fuck it. It's only $50.
Well, you know why they do that, right?
Why?
They do that. Tesla does the same thing. And Rivian did the same thing where you put these either refundable and or non-refundable deposits. It's to get bank loans.
Oh, okay.
So it shows if 100,000 people put the deposit down, it's showing the bank that 100,000 people are going to buy your vehicle.
So they will fund
it. So your bank is going to be more secure in giving you a loan to build all these vehicles.
Right.
And that's why, that's Tesla, Elon Musk. Where's the Roadster that everyone put deposits down on 9 years ago?
That's true. I totally forgot about those.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing when the Cybertruck, when he first announced it. Cybertruck was supposed to be 400 miles of range. It was going to be $40,000 and it was going to be this. Give us a deposit.
Yeah.
And it just bumps the stock price up, gives loans,
So it's not necessarily a conspiracy. That's like exactly how they're doing
it. It's exactly how it works, right?
Yeah,
it's security. It's loan security. Like, it's all interesting. I learned a lot about this when I was looking into Rivian.
Yeah, when you were knee deep in Rivians and before you had the Maverick and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
And I think Rivian, if you look at that company and they come out with that smaller SUV.
Right.
Like that SUV is going to tow 9,000 pounds. Right. That SUV is going to truly fit five people. It's truly going to have a huge frunk. It's going to have it's going to do all these things. And it's by a company that like, it's not like a legacy company, but it's by a reputable company.
Right. Right.
An established company. Mm-hmm. Right. So like,
what's the price point for those? The entry
40.
Price 40. Oh, I mean,
yeah.
So you're talking about a 20, and it's all starting to make sense.
What I'm saying? it's
all coming together.
If I'm going to make a car payment,
at
$28,000,
yeah,
that's $400 something dollars a month, $500 a month, for another $100 a month, $150 a month. You could have something that tows 9 times the amount. Mm-hmm. It's more comfortable. It's quieter.
Cruise control.
Adaptive cruise control. Yeah. It's got like a nice stereo. Like it doesn't have this thing where you have to mount your phone to a freaking this thing.
All right. You're all right.
Like I said, it's great. It's great for the. It's great though because it's a good.
Yeah.
It makes people pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's important. That's,
yeah. That was sort of like my thing in the beginning of it. It sparks people's interest. You know.
Not just our interest though. It sparks the interest of other automakers.
Yeah.
Like it makes big companies like Toyota like go, oh, mm-hmm. oh, how many did they get reservations for? Maybe we should do something
right,
like this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, you should do something like this. Mm-hmm. Everybody should make a Ford Maverick, their version.
Yeah.
Make it look like a truck. Don't do what Hyundai did and make it look like a car thing. Yeah. Or what Honda does and make it look like a car. Mm-hmm. Like make it look like a truck. Make it do truck things and make it cheap because we all don't need to tow 10,000 pounds.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's perfect. Perfect button on that whole thing.
Yeah. But I like it. And I hope if they do happen, I hope a bunch of people get it. And I hope Panda gets one and he lays it out.
That'd be sick. I mean, that would be the super fun part right there.
Yeah, it would be the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be super cool.
Mm-hmm. So do that, Panda. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like he's listening. He's too busy. He's a busy man.
Everyone stopped at an hour. They're like, oh, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, they're going to come see this one. Hour 30. Oh, what's happening? What are they talking about?
Oh, we could talk about some upcoming shows real quick.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm going to that Pink Motel show tomorrow, so we'll be talking about that on next week's episode, even though that already happened this past weekend.
Not shows that technically we're going to, but
just shows in general. Okay, yeah. Well, I don't have anything, so what do you got?
That June 7th Huntington Beach cruise.
Oh, I saw that. That looks cool.
Yeah, so that is...
Jordan.
I just put June 7th cruise on my notes. I didn't actually...
So what it is, it's Jordan and Nicole from Freaks of Nature. They live in Huntington Beach, so they're putting together like a Huntington Beach cruise. I think it's similar to like the quarantine cruise. You know, that goes on.
Yeah.
But for mini trucks specifically, it looks fun. I've got so many people sent it to me. I have, my kid has a big tournament that weekend, so I'm not going to go, but I encourage everybody to go. It's going to be a lot of fun. Go do that. June 7th. Go somewhere to
what's
see
his Instagram?
I don't know what his Instagram
is. Okay. Go on the drop. I'm going to share. I'll share the post.
There you go.
So go on the drop. When you're reading this, mm-hmm. if you go on the drop on Monday, I'll share his post. And
You can see all the info there.
So if you're in the SoCal area mm-hmm. and you want to go cruise the beach, that's what they're doing. Right. It looks like a lot of fun. So,
and then one we are going to go to June 21st is the Unfinished Business Show in Lake Paris.
Oh, and I'll be in Texas next weekend.
I was going to ask you that. I didn't know because I actually hesitated to ask you because I didn't know if it was this past weekend and you just decided not to go.
But, oh, so that's no. Next
okay.
weekend.
Next weekend. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to Classic Truck Throwdown.
In Conroe.
That'll be just fun.
Loading up the Maverick, and I'm going to drive to Austin, and I'm going to eat some barbecue.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm going to drive to Conroe, and I'm going to hang out with Matt and Jacob. Matt's truck that he's building right now. He just sent me a picture of it. They just put it on the new chassis. It'll be in the booth.
Oh, sick. Hell yeah. His four-door?
Yep.
Nice.
So it's going to be hot. It's going to be in the 90s.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Don't expect a video.
Yeah. There will be a video of me eating brisket.
What made you want to go to that seems so like out of the norm. You're going to Austin. You just decided to do that just to do it for fun?
Yeah, so when we went to Moab and I took the Maverick, it was such a comfortable drive. I think I spent, I don't even know, $100-something in gas going mm-hmm. there. So it's going to be like $300 in fuel to go to Conroe and back in that thing. And I'm just like, well, I don't have anything to do to Unfinished Business. So I was like, let me just go. Yeah. I'll just do it. And then I started going, well, I don't just want to jam out there and jam back. So Austin is literally like just right above San Antonio.
Right.
So I just started watching videos on food and
you're going to try to hit stuff. Franklin's or do you have,
no, there's that one is pretty tough to hit.
Yeah. Apparently. It's, yeah. Yeah.
And, I watched that video that I said the other night and I made this big list of all these different,
that's cool.
And I made this list for us when we go too, cause there's two spots in San Antonio that look super legit that
hell
are like,
yeah.
Food trucky type ones. They're kind of just like,
yeah.
Mom and pop like places nice. That aren't Franklin level of standing in line and like, oh, we ran out of, I like, that's cool and all, But I'm not trying to do that.
Have you seen the dudes who like come over from Europe and do like barbecue food tours and spend like $3,000 on barbecue food?
This shit's expensive. No, like, dude, $30 something, $35 a pound.
Yeah, these fools will like put out these spreads and they're like, this is $600 worth of food from Franklin's. And it's like, holy crap.
Anyway,
that's awesome, man. That's really exciting. Looking forward to hearing that adventure.
Yeah, so we had to record an episode. I will talk about that in post-pod. We're already an hour and 37 minutes into this thing.
All right. Well, we'll see you later.
All right. But, oh, yeah. Go buy drop shirts. Yeah. They're going to be on sale.
Yes. Go to grinder-tv.com.
Yes, and click on the drop shirts. Buy a drop shirt. Then go to Custom Life and buy a Custom Life shirt.
But more importantly, we need those drop shirts gone. So do that first, actually.
Yeah. We want to move those. Because we're trying to cycle these things out. Because the more drop shirts we sell, the more things we can do.
Yeah, and then we'll come up with a new drop shirt.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you later. Bye.